prominent in Wilmington. We know that the hymn that we sang says there is a night coming when we can work no more, but I don't think we've been getting an indication that that night is here yet. It might be getting closer now than it was before, as comments are made about what's going on in the world today. But we know that sometimes the work is more prominent in certain areas of the world than it is other. And so as long as we're in agreement that we should still be witnessing God's plan and God's wonderful kingdom and looking for the wheat. And the pastor gives us a direction in the third volume where he says, this one work that we do can either find the wheat or it can bind tares or it can sow seeds for the kingdom. And so we have an opportunity to do one, two, or all three of those in our little witnesses work that we do. And so we're very pleased to have Brother Jerry Manette to serve the convention this year. And one of his services is this Harvest Testimony meeting. And so, Brother Jerry, we'll turn the meeting over to you now. And the Lord bless your direction of this meeting for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tim. And brethren, it's a pleasure to be with you all. Welcome to the Harvest Testimony for the Wilmington Convention for this year, 2020. We're going to dispense with reading of the manna, and hopefully we'll be able to keep our comments short because we do have quite a large number of brethren who are attending this convention, and hopefully there'll be a large number of brethren who wish to share their testimony with us. A few short remarks before we begin. I looked up the word harvest or harvesting in a Bible dictionary, and I'm going to read a short definition of that. And it reads as follows. Harvesting or ingathering is the culmination of the agricultural cycle followed immediately by the processing of crops, such as fruit, grains, wines, oils, dried fruit, so forth. So in the nation of Israel, in a good year, the season of ingathering was time for joy and merrymaking. Now, our time of harvest is also this, but it is much more. And I would like to read Psalm 126. I'm going to read it from the Tanakh because I think it's appropriate. Psalm 126. When the Lord restores the fortunes of Zion, we see it in a dream. Our mouths shall be filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. They shall say among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord will do great things for us, and we shall rejoice. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like watercourses in the Negeb. They who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. Though he goes along weeping, carrying the seed bag, he shall come back with songs of joy, carrying his sheaves. So, brethren, there is laughter, there is joy, there is rejoicing as we go about our work of declaring that the Lord will do great things for the nations when he restores the fortunes of Zion. And though we may sometimes sow with tears and go along weeping, we shall come back with songs of joy, carrying our sheaves. For weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So, brethren, the protocol, again, for the online testimony meeting here is I will read off the three brethren who have signified that they want to testify, and then we will testify in that order. And I will ask the person who is up next to testify to please unmute your microphone. And so at this time, we will have Sister Olive Keith, Sister Maria Weber, and Sister Judy Garrison testify in that order. Sister Olive Keith, you are up first, so please unmute your microphone and share your testimony.
I am delighted. Can you hear me, brethren?
Yes, we can.
Oh, bless your heart. I have been greatly blessed by this wonderful, wonderful way of meeting together. And a long time ago, I wrote a heartfelt poem. I'll share it with you as part of my thoughts today. Bless you, brethren. You've been a blessing to me. I loved it. Wonderful talks on the memorial. One step at a time to reach the goal. With God's help, we'll miss each soul. One step upward each day will bring us home at last as we pray. Do each day's work faithfully done. 'Twill bring us home with a victory won. Amen. Olive, that's my thought. I want to share that with you, dear brethren, and tell you what a blessing you've been by helping with this this difficult word speaking to a phone that I don't know how to work. So, blessings on you. I've been helped tremendously by going back with the brethren and their wonderful discourses and thinking with them about Jesus, as was just currently brought out, and how all of the things he did were necessary to open up the way and to have us follow in his footsteps. And so by grace, we are in his wonderful footsteps, and we're not alone. We have the Lord to be with us in every difficulty. And so I pray a blessing on each head bowed before the Lord. And thank you, brethren, for your glorious help. It has been a great encouragement. Over.
Thank you, Sister Olive, for not knowing how to use the phone, as you say. You did marvelous. And thank you for leading us off and being the first to testify and sharing that very encouraging and uplifting poem. Thank you, Sister. Next up, we will have Sister Maria. And please unmute your microphone and share your testimony.
Okay, am I unmuted?
You are doing, yes, we can hear you.
Okay, greetings to all the brethren. This is such a privilege and a blessing for me, especially because I didn't think I would be able to make the Wilmington Convention this year in person. And then to find out that because of what's going on, it was going to be online, I was really overjoyed to know that I wouldn't have to miss it. And I am just so thankful. I'm not one to really be a fan of technology. But when it's put to this kind of good use, it's really such a blessing that we have it. So thank you to all of you who participated in setting it up and organizing everything. I know it's a lot of work. So I tried to write down a couple of things so I don't go off on a tangent. First, I want to say that obviously meeting in person, if it's possible and when it's possible, is always the priority and the truest blessing that we can receive. So God willing, when this is quarantining and all of that is removed, we can maybe see each other as soon as possible in person, because that is my desire, to see you and hug you and shake hands and just to be close. The second thing is that the reason I didn't think I would make it to the convention in person originally was and for those of you who don't know me, it's Sister Maria Weber from the New York Ecclesia. And Wilmington was always a special convention to me because my husband, Brother Carl, and I were both immersed there 20 years ago. So it's always a joy to go back there. But our daughter, who's now 14, Sarah Elizabeth, has cerebral palsy and recently was diagnosed with hip dysplasia, which was excruciating pain for her. And she does not walk without using a gait trainer. Many of you may have seen her at conventions, either in a green walker or a white walker. And she's got a huge smile and loves the Brethren and really does enjoy going up to everyone and hugging and shaking hands. So unfortunately, because of the hip problem, she's not able to go in the walker for, it's been at least 6 months. And she had major hip surgery in February, right before all this corona stuff happened. So we are very thankful to our Heavenly Father that the timing of everything is always, it's amazing how he really directs things. If we waited a few more weeks, she would have been put on the wait list because they would have said it was non-essential. But for her, it was because of the pain. So anyway, she is doing so well with recovery. The surgery went so well. The doctor came out and said he did less than he thought he'd have to do. It went better than he thought it would. Her recovery was so much better than we ever expected. And we had an x-ray of her hip a little over a week ago, and he called saying that he was so pleased and happy to see that her hip is back where it belongs. It was a major procedure. She has a plate and pins and screws holding things in place, and she will have to have those pieces of equipment pulled out in less than a year. But he was very pleased and said that the healing process is going very well and that, God willing, in 6 months, she should be fully healed. We also are rejoicing that our health insurance has allowed her to get a new walker because the kind she had was no longer safe for her for body alignment. So the insurance company approved it and is paying 100% of it, and it's $4,000. So we are very thankful to our Heavenly Father for his overruling with that as well, because they don't really want to pay for anything. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that now that we have this coronavirus situation going on, I have been trying, you know, asking the Lord to give me the right words to be a good witness to others, whether it's Brethren, family, friends, neighbors. We have an online neighborhood community, kind of like a bulletin board, if you will, that I signed up for a few years ago. And I've used that recently to suggest to people in the neighborhood, well, now that you can't go to church, maybe you can do online Bible studies. And it's a good time to pray more and to read the Bible and to try to memorize comforting scriptures and to draw closer to God and Jesus. And no one has come back with anything negative, which I'm so pleasantly surprised. I've had so many people respond in a very positive way to that type of witnessing. And I'm just delighted and thankful because I didn't know, you know, you put yourself out on a limb when it's out to the public in that kind of a manner. Another thing that I wanted to ask for your prayers is Brother Alex Lutsky, who is an elder in our class. He did not ask for this, so I hope it's okay, but I wanted to ask the Brethren, I'm sure he's not the only one in the front lines, but he does have a job where he is very closely physically involved with caring for people who have gotten sick. So if it would please you, if you'd ask the Lord to, you know, watch over him according to his will, we would appreciate those prayers for him. And then I wanted to mention Romans 12:12, which is not uncommon to all of us. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And I wanted to just say that that's been a scripture that's been on my mind very much because the past month I've been in severe pain. Most days the pain is anywhere from an 8 to a 10, and sometimes it goes up to like an 18 on the severity scale. And I have a 3.5-inch ovarian cyst and stage 4 endometriosis, which is not cancer. It sounds like it because of the word stage 4, but it's just a very severe condition. It's an autoimmune disease in my lower abdomen that can cause excruciating pain. And I am on a regimen of pain medication that I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be on, because I'm so anti-medicine, but I have no choice but to be taking something every 3 hours to just get rid of some of the pain. And our Heavenly Father is merciful. There have been many moments where I've had no pain or it was only down to a 2. And then within a half an hour, it can go right back up to a 10. You just never know. God has put a few doctors and a total wellness center in my path I've been very grateful for them. This pain, I did get a special shot that hopefully the swelling of all these things will go down, maybe by late April, early May. But until then, I do have the pain and the medicine to look forward to, if you could say it that way. So I would appreciate an interest in your prayers that the Lord would overrule it according to his will, that I would learn the necessary lessons, that I would be a good example, and I would accept this pain, even sometimes as excruciating as it is. I don't want to wish anything that he feels is necessary for me to go away, because he knows what I need to make my call and election sure, to be a faithful example to others. And I want to thank my husband, Brother Carl, who has been he has been remarkable in taking care of me, and our daughter, who's still recovering from surgery. So there's also four sisters. I don't want to mention names, but if they're on, they know who they are. They have really been a rock for me, because sometimes I get very weak and I need someone to make me feel better. And I've been able to call them day or night, or email or text, and they've always been there for me with scriptures and hymns and encouraging words, and of course their prayers. And it really gives meaning to the fact that we really do suffer with each other as well as rejoice with each other.
Sister Maria, have we lost you, or are you finished with your testimony? It seems as though we may have lost Sister Maria. We do encourage all the brethren to pray for Sister Maria, as she has asked for prayers for herself and for her family, for Sarah Elizabeth as well. We're encouraged that her surgery has gone well, and we will certainly keep you in our prayers, Sister Maria. Thank you for your testimony, and may the Lord continue to give you strength during this very difficult time. Next up to testify is Sister Judy Garrison, and Sister Judy will be followed by Brother Bill Gill. So, Sister Judy, if you would please unmute your microphone and share your testimony.
Brother Jerry, I'd like to raise my voice in praise and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. He's been very good to us, and I'd like to thank the convention, brethren, for having this convention online, for the technology that we have today. It's a real blessing. And for all the brethren that have served in one way or another, whether it's playing music or offering prayer or services or technical help, whatever it might be. Thank you, brethren. For my testimony, I'd like to read a precious promise, which means a lot to me. It's Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And in the situation that we're in worldwide right now, I really took this to heart. The God of Israel is indeed ever present with his true people. He never forgets us, but is constantly looking out for our interests, guarding us in every time of danger, providing for our every need, both temporal and spiritual, whatever is best for the interest of the new creature. He reads every thought of our hearts. He marks every impulse of devotion and love to him. He shapes all the influences surrounding our lives for our disciplining and refining, and hearkens to our every cry for aid and comfort and sympathy and fellowship with him. He is never for even a moment forgetful or off guard. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord bless you all. Thank you. And I would like to also send you the love of the Salem class, because we're always commissioned to do that. And Brother Lou, who's right there. So the Lord bless you all. Over.
Thank you, Sister Judy. Thank you for sending the love from the brethren and the Salem Ecclesia. And thanks again for bringing to our memories the fact that our Heavenly Father will never leave us or forsake us, even in these very difficult times that we're living in today. So again, thank you. May the Lord bless you, Sister Judy. Before we go to Brother Bill, let me just remind the brethren who would like to testify to type your name in the chat with the word testify, if you'd like to be added to our a list of those who'd like to testify. And for those of you who are on the phone, please hit *9 if you would like to add your list, a name to the list of those who'd like to testify. All right. Next up will be Brother Bill. I see you're unmuted. So Brother Bill, please share your testimony.
Okay, very good, Brother Dan and Brother Jerry, excuse me. I'm too used to talking to your brother, I guess. you know, we'd like to encourage all the brethren to turn their cameras on down there in the lower left. If you don't see it, hover your cursor, your mouse down in the lower left. It says start video. I had told the Salem class, they asked me about would it be practical to do testimony meetings with Zoom this way? And I said, oh, surely. There, everybody can put their cameras on. And but you're proving me wrong. So put your cameras on, and then in your you can see so many people at once, and it's wonderful that way. And then all you have to do is put your hand up, Brother Dan, just like when we're in the real room, if you want to testify. And I also compliment Sister Judy. She has the most beautiful lighting on her right now. She must be a photographer and knows how to set it up. It's a very, very good there. But the main reason I wanted to testify is because the scripture was brought up in John 9:4 by Brother Albert. That's Tim, if you don't know it. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when which no man can work. And notice there the wonderful thing. It says, I, meaning Jesus, must work the works of him, his Father, the one who sent him. So it's not our work. It's not the work that people are doing in the world. It is definitely the Father's work, what he has planned for everybody to be doing. Has nothing to do with working in the workplace in temporal work at all. It's all to do with the Father's work, and there's lots of different kinds of that work. So we just want to encourage the brethren in that regard. It's very interesting. Over the last few weeks, I answer the phone calls that come in from our website as well as from the Divine Plan program on the television programs, and usually we get three or four phone calls coming in after each TV program that goes up. And on Sunday, I got 12 to 15. And on the Sunday before, the same thing. I mean, it's really increased because everybody's staying home and they're watching television or on the computer. And normally we get, when we send out an email to our email witness list, we'll get about, 6 to 9% of people will open them up and click on something. Well, this time it jumped up to about 17%, maybe up to 20% in one case. So far, the tendency has been to people to perk up their ears. Maybe it's the fear that's doing this, the not knowing what's going on, needing answers. And so we can be thankful that more people are maybe receptive to listening to why God permits evil and other issues like that. So we give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Over.
Thank you, Brother Bill. And thanks for the reminder, to turn on the cameras if you so desire. The only issue we'd have, Brother Bill, with the raising of the hand is this ecclesia is about 150 strong. And so I only get about 25 people on my screen, so I won't be able to see you unless, I like scroll back and forth real fast. So
you need to go to the little up arrow next to your start video or your stop video, click on it, go to video settings, click, and then look at the last click box down at the bottom that says display up to 49 participants per screen in gallery view.
Okay, I'll try that, but I'm still going to ask the brethren to go ahead and write that you'd like to testify because I don't know if I can do that. Thank you, Brother Bill. And again, thanks for your testimony and for the work that you're doing in the harvest. We do appreciate it, and may the Lord continue to bless you in that work. Next up to testify, we have, I'm not sure if it's Brother Bob, Sister Rebecca, or both Bob and Rebecca Gray. And so if you're one, the other, or both, please unmute your microphone and share your testimony.
Thank you, Brother Jerry and brethren. It has been good to hear your testimonies thus far and anticipate many more blessings. Thank you, Brother Bill, for bringing up John 4:9. I've always loved that verse. I must work the works of him that sent me. I like the New American Standard translation of that. We must work the works of him who sent me. I think that puts us into the same responsible category. And Rebecca has always mentioned to us about the time of trouble.
Oh, that Brother Russell suggested that as the time of trouble increases, we would have more opportunities to witness. So I have been using that consistently. And when I'm out in public with people who are friendly, store clerk or whatever, someone passing, I'll use my wedge, say, hey, ever wonder what this world is coming to? Oh, man, what? A lot of them say, well, I don't watch the news anymore, or I play golf or whatever. And I say, well, it means we're that much closer to Messiah or Jesus's kingdom, because we're going to have a climax, and man's extremity will be God's opportunity to get everybody's attention. We've had many disappointments in what's been happening in the world, but even in our personal well-being. And I've been thinking that because of all the conflict between the nations and trouble, that when the kingdom government is set up, the brethren, well, people will be able to say, ah, this is what we want. This is real peace. And then on the other hand, regarding people's own progress and issues and challenges, this COVID-19 dilemma will greatly enhance man's own personal health and progress on the narrow way, because we have been so personally challenged in our physical issues and survival. So I pray for you all that you may grow and prosper. And please pray for me to be faithful and not stumble or waste any opportunities for stepping forward. And we'll be praying for you. Love you.
And we know that several of the brethren have already been in contact with COVID-19. And so we can remember those who we don't know about, because there's going to be more. There's one sister on the Northwest that apparently is a nurse, and she's been afflicted with that. But then again, she's on the front lines. I mentioned Brother Obi. He's involved in pulmonary therapy. You can't get much deeper into this problem than that. Breathing is their issue. And also, one of the brethren asked me, I mentioned before, to some of you, he was concerned whether he should share these things with others. And I kind of suggested maybe your case is not the average case, but maybe he should. I don't know. I also think that there's a benefit and blessing to this world to see how very easily they can be humbled or brought to realize that this is a very limited. Let's say we have too much. We think of ourselves as a materialistic society. This has really made things very difficult for materialism to be appreciated. Not this, that mankind can't figure out another way of doing things, but that seems to be the problem at this point. Love you all, and memories of this particular convention, and Brother Coleman and Sister Mirza, Brother Peter and Sister Mirza, and the many activities that have been engaged in through the past have also been fresh in our minds, including many brethren who we've seen in different parts of the country. We want to remember them in prayer as well throughout the world. The two sisters and one brother who was supposed to go to Siberia are being limited, but they found out now that they can either get a remuneration of the money or hold on to the ticket. So pray that whatever decision is made, it's the right one, because we don't know whether they'll be able to ever go, number one. Number two, whether they'll need the funds on this at this time, if they can get their cash back, to use it for more important things currently, like healthcare. Lord bless
Thank you for your testimony, Brother Bob and Sister Rebecca. Always willing to share the gospel with those. It's a good example to all of us, your willingness to put yourself out there like that. We thank you for your testimonies. May the Lord continue to give you the strength to carry on to do this harvest work, as you've done for many, many years. Thank you. Again, a reminder, those who would like to testify, to type your name in the chat room there with the word testify. If you would like to be added to our list, those on the phone, hit *9. If you'd like to be added to the list, after you do that, you hit, is that star or pound? *6 to unmute your phone to speak to Brother Jonathan to get your name on the list. Hopefully that was clear. Next up to testify is Sister Toni Kramer. And so, Sister Toni, if you would unmute your microphone and share your testimony with us, please.
Greetings, Brother Jerry and all the brethren out there. I would like to express my thanks to the behind-the-scenes labors that went into all this, and as Julie can testify as well, and Lois and Becky, we know our husbands were on, and Rachel as well, and Ruth, we know our husbands were on a significant time just to kind of work the bugs out to be able to do this convention. And I greatly appreciate Brother Jonathan's labors and Brother Tim as far as trying to get this convention in the Zoom format and the ability to see one another. And yes, Brother Bill, please note I do have my video on. That's a longstanding joke with him and I. But the reason I wanted to testify, in addition to being very thankful for this convention, as I woke up yesterday thinking, well, if it were a normal convention, we'd be getting in the car and driving out, but, you know, this isn't. It is a sign of the times. It is a blessing of the increased knowledge that we have to rejoice in. With our own ecclesia regarding harvest testimonies, in case George, Brother George, was thinking about it, at least I'm going to say something. We had, as a class, had decided to try the EDDM witnessing for at least a localized area. That's the direct mailing. And we had just gotten, I think, all the cards and all the book, everything just ready to go when this whole experience kind of mushroomed. So for right now, it is on hold because so many concerns of how much would people just throw it away because, oh, yeah, it might be transferred on the mailings or whatever. So I would ask an interest in the prayers of the brethren that in due time, I love that phrase, in due time, that the class would be able to complete that labor. I know Brother George and Sister Laurel were really looking forward to doing that part of it, and perhaps in due time they will be able to. The other thing I would like to thank is the Central Ohio Brethren for their questions and their internet contact with brethren and just witnessing throughout the world. And the opportunity that Bill talked me into a number of years ago in participating in responses to some of the questions that came in. And I received a question last week that I just really, really appreciated. In fact, it wasn't a question. It was five questions in one. And it was just, you can tell individuals are really looking for the truth. It amazes me what some of the questions do come up with, but I very much appreciated this last question that I had the opportunity to respond to. And as we enter into this next few days, as we think of what our Lord went through I do appreciate Sister Margaret Furlujewski's mailing that she shared with many, and brought a point out that this time, this year, we can all get a little bit greater appreciation of how our Lord tread the winepress alone. We are all used to having face-to-face contact with when we partake of memorial. That's not going to be the same this year. And yet a comment that Brother Harry Nugent made on Monday night's meeting was, in some ways, he feels closer to all the brethren this year than in the past. And in a way, I can understand that, because we are all in a similar experience. Oftentimes when the memorial comes up, one or two out of the ecclesia are going through especially trying experiences. And not that they aren't this year, but all the brethren throughout the whole world are going through a variation of this experience. And it does draw us together more as one body. One loaf is what was mentioned earlier. So again, I remember all of you in prayer as we approach the memorial, and may the Lord bless each of you as you meditate and partake of that memorial. Over.
Thank you, Sister Toni, for your testimony. And again, your willingness to do the harvest work, answering the questions. And we thank you for your prayers of support for all of us. And we support you, and we'll pray for you as well. Thank you. I'm going to, again, I'll read off the next three names that are on our list for the brethren who would like to testify. Sister Diane Lucas, Brother George Wilmot, and Brother Rick Hoy, in that order. So first up will be Sister Diane Lucas. Please unmute your microphone and share your testimony.
Good afternoon, Brother Jerry and dear brethren. The scripture that's on my heart is from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 5th verse. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, not of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep and do as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And we are extremely blessed to be able to have a knowledge of the plan of God, so that when these things that come upon the earth, we're not terrorized and don't have the anxiety that so many are experiencing and for which we're very sympathetic to. I'm particularly reminded of Brother Ken and Sister Virginia Rawson, who are conspicuously absent among our fellowship this day. As many of you know, that Brother Ken is in a long-term care facility and Sister Virginia is in her home. They are separated. So they are not only separated from the brethren, they are separated from each other. And that is an extremely difficult trial, I'm sure, for both of them. And Sister Mary Lamantovich also, who is in a long-term care facility. And as we know, brethren, that this virus is particularly targeting our elderly, the elderly, and those that are in long-term care facilities. So I would ask that you would continue to pray on their behalf, that the Lord's will be done. And for those of us that might be thinking in their heart, well, there is not very much we can do in witnessing because we are sheltered in. What I've been doing is, and this was really something that one of the brethren brought to my attention, but also my grandson. When my grandson comes over, he likes to take chalk and color my driveway. And so I said, well, if he can do it, I can do it, but I can give them a message of hope. So I've been trying to put a message of hope on my driveway with chalk. Every day there's not rain. And we've had a lot of rain, so it's been washed away a lot of times, and I've had to put new messages on, which is okay. And then I cite a website. I actually thought about putting a box out there with Why God Permits Evil or some other type of literature, but I thought, you know, people are concerned about handling literature from unknown places. I'll just put the website. So for those of you that have driveways, maybe this is an idea for you. and I love you all very much and appreciate the wonderful providence that the Lord has given to us to meet together this way. And you have my prayers, and I ask for yours.
Well, thank you, Sister Diane. That's a very clever and innovative way to do the harvest work with chalk on your driveway. I think that might be a first. So if you get any foot traffic, they'll see it. Very good. Thank you very much. May the Lord add his blessing to your work. Thank you. Next up will be Brother George Wilmot. So please unmute your microphone and share your testimony.
Brother George, before you start, I wanted to call the brethren's attention to that many people are getting on with iPads, but you must have found a little iPad.
Brother Jerry and brethren, Brother Bob mentioned about Brother Sister Coleman. They imparted a lot of their zeal to me. I'm very grateful that it was my privilege to fellowship with them on many, many occasions years ago. And also, Brother Jerry, it's wonderful to see you, because I also note that your dear brother Dan is also here in the conference room. And it's because that many years ago, Brother Dan tuned in the Divine Plan program. And so both of you are here, and your wives and others of your family. So that's encouraging. Also, on March the 30th, there was a lady from Gary, Indiana, who wrote to us. She watches the Divine Plan program every Sunday morning at 5 a.m., and she wrote a very encouraging letter, and in part she said, "Thank you for giving me a deeper understanding. God bless you, and may it be well with you." I should think that there are many people. Brother Bill mentioned that there are several responses coming each Sunday from the programs. I should think that there are probably thousands of people who never write or phone. But nevertheless, the harvest work still continues, and it will continue until that last one passes beyond the veil. It has been our privilege now for over 46 years for the message to go through, go over the air by means of television, and before that by radio. And so it's a joy to know that some attending this convention are here because of the Lord's overruling that the truth went forth over the air. And also, I'm encouraged that a few months ago, the way opened up for a Dallas station to broadcast Divine Plan. It's at 5 a.m., very early, but nevertheless, as Brother Bill indicated, we're getting responses from that and also another station here. And Lord willing, the program will start on a Houston station, Channel 20, on April the 19th. So it's interesting that there's still a lot of opportunities to proclaim the truth. And let us be faithful in doing whatever is in our hand. We're not all expected to do the same thing, but there's still work for each one who has consecrated. And so may we continue to pray for the incoming kingdom and for the general interest of the harvest work. Over.
Thank you, George. The Lord has blessed your work in the harvest for many years. We greatly appreciate it. I'll recall a very quick story. It was many years ago. I recall we were newer in the truth, and we were standing in a line for a meal at a convention. I don't recall which one it was, and we were talking, and I had said to you that when I first heard the truth, I said, it just sounds too good to be true. You turned to me, and you said, "No, it's too good not to be true." And I've never forgotten that. So thank you, Brother George. May the Lord continue to give you the strength in this harvest. Thank you. Next up, we have Brother Rick Hoy. And Brother Rick will be followed by Sister Gloria Newsall. So Brother Rick, please unmute your microphone and share your testimony.
Hello, brethren. My name is Rick Hoy. I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to give a short version of my personal testimony. 1972, I searched for the Lord with my whole heart, and he directed me to Jehovah's Witnesses for some reason. For the last 40 years, my wife and I served as Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, in that time, 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now, we took that to heart, to love the brotherhood, which we assumed was Jehovah's Witnesses. And we feared God, Jehovah, and we honored Jesus Christ, the King. But over those 40 years, and we've been married 46 years, I myself personally was fed by the pastor's writings. Someone had given me the first two volumes in study in of the Watchtower. And I had access to the first volume of Studies in the Scriptures and the sixth. Now, I wonder, why for so long was I a Jehovah's Witness, and I served as an elder for many years, and we pioneered, and we stood on street corners, and we preached, and we went door to door and preached what we thought was truth. And I constantly had this battle as a teacher, knowing what the pastor said and what I could teach. And there was this constant, when I taught, altering of the message I was supposed to preach. And I tried to a certain degree preach what I knew the pastor said was truth, because it was in my heart. But we were always taught, well, there was the pastor, Russell, then Jehovah's Witnesses under Rutherford. And I constantly had this conflict. And I partook of the emblems, understanding what that was from 1973 on. And I did meet a few truly consecrated servants of Jehovah and his son. But they, too, were taught as Jehovah's Witnesses. So eventually, we broke away. We couldn't take it anymore, my wife or I. Many, many different things caused us to come to this conclusion. But my wife prayed, well, there's got to be consecrated brothers somewhere in the world. And for some reason, we had never looked online. And when we did, our Lord directed us immediately to the Bible Student Retirement Center. And we live in Canada. We live in British Columbia. And we went to the convention there, the first convention 3 years ago. And we've met many of our consecrated brethren. And we see them online and the pictures and the fellowshipping with them when we could go to conventions or in the States and in Canada. And so we finally can see our brethren. There is a brotherhood of consecrated ones, and we've been feeding for the last 3 years constantly, because we're alone in Karamias, and it's a 2-hour drive to the brethren in Vernon, a 4-hour drive to Vancouver. So we rarely get to fellowship face to face. Periodically we do, but I'm going to cut it short. The point is, there is wheat out there. There are still consecrated brethren that need to be testified to. And as Apollos corrected the husband and wife and brought them to a more accurate understanding and fellowshipping with true Christians, we thank you. We thank you for all you're doing, all of you. And it's so wonderful to see your faces. And may the memorial coming up in a few days, these pictures that we see, help us, even though we're alone, to celebrate that memorial together and to continue on in the road to life, the narrow road, encouraging one another. So thank you very much.
Brother Rick, thank you for that very uplifting testimony. And may the Lord continue to bless you in your walk. with the Lord and with your brethren. Thank you. Next up to testify will be Sister Gloria Newsall. And so, Sister Gloria, if you'll please unmute your microphone and share your testimony.
Yes. Yes, we're here.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm so thankful to be online with you all. We had thought about the Wilmington Chesapeake Convention every time we received the program and thought it would be wonderful to be with all you for your wonderful program and speakers. And now we can be because of this wonderful technology. And we had our convention last week online, and we wanted to see how you were doing it. And we know what hard work it is to put this on, and we're so thankful for the brothers that keep up with technology, and they bring us along with all of you so we can be together, and that's a blessing of the Lord. I got the Zoom link late, so I didn't hear the first of the convention, and it's been on my mind greatly, the scriptures from Luke 21, 25 through 28, and about what's going on because of this crisis, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking upon the things that are coming. And then, but the encouraging part is for us, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads for your redemption, deliverance draweth nigh. This is a great, great promise and blessing from the Lord, because we know he's going to keep us through it by his power, but we'll learn lessons from it too, just like the world is learning lessons. It's wonderful to see from the news how this crisis is changing people. It's changing their attitude, and it's making them more outward, thinking of others. Like Israel, when they cried unto the Lord in trouble, the Lord brought about conditions where they would be blessed by the crisis after it was over. Now, Don is a bus driver, so he has to go out every day. He's essential. And we know I'm very susceptible to the disease, the crisis. So I have to stay home. I've been home since it started. But I know the Lord will overrule, and I'm not worried because he knows the way that he is going to take us home. But I want to tell the brethren how much I appreciate seeing you all and hearing your testimonies. They touch me because I have those conditions too. But anyway, we're sending love and prayers from the Seattle brethren, especially thinking of you this morning. And we'll have you in our prayers. And I have many more to add to our prayers and thanksgiving for our brethren. Lord bless over.
Thank you, Sister Gloria, for sharing your testimony. And our thoughts will be with your husband driving the bus. We know that that can be
dangerous.
Exactly right. In this time, may the Lord's will be done in that.
Yeah.
I can see that our time is expired. It is about 4:00. And as it were, we have no one left in our list to testify, and so that seemed to have worked out actually very well, providentially, I would think. And so we would turn the meeting back over to Brother Tim at this time.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Now, if there were additional names, we would put them in the queue for tomorrow. There is a testimony, praise, prayer, and testimony meeting tomorrow. It's 45 minutes. There is a hymn sing before that for 15 minutes. So usually we allow brethren to select hymns, but with the hymn files difficult to have at a moment's notice, I believe Brother Jonathan has already selected hymns for us to sing. but I'm sure he's picked our favorites, and so we'll be able to sing those. So we're going to close now with hymn number 309, and there was a hymn selection from Brother Miro of hymn number 230, but Brother Miro, can we put that into the queue for tomorrow at our praise, prayer, and testimony meeting?
Yes.
Okay, we'll include that tomorrow, and so we'll sing hymn number 309 to close, and then we'll ask Brother Jerry if he will offer a prayer to close this session. So hymn number 309, To the Work. Brother Jerry offers prayer to close this session. I don't know how we can do it. We're just going to make an assumption that everybody can hear my voice, and we're going to vote to send the convention love out to anyone that you come in contact with. So if you have your camera on, I'm looking for your hand. All who raise your hand. Okay, send love out, and we'll just assume that all those cameras that are off also raise their hands. So we'll do that tomorrow as well, in case there are some who could be on one day and not on another, and we can have the convention love sent as widespread as possible. So, Brother Jerry, and brethren, thank you all for your wonderful testimonies. We appreciated each one. And Brother Jerry, would you thank the Lord for this time together?
Dear Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in prayer, thankful for this privilege that we have to meet one with another and to share our testimonies of the things that are on our hearts with our brethren. We ask that those who had requested prayer, Father, that you would shed your light upon them and help them as you know best. And we thank you for the gift of your Son, the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. We pray, Father, for this poor groaning creation at this time as well, and pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now, Father, we leave this time of recess in your care and keeping, praying your blessing upon our continued fellowship And it's in the name and the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.